Hello, welcome to Between Two Worlds podcast. My name is Luke, I'll be the host. And around the table today, we got the regulars. We got Ron.
Regulars. I'm a regular.
We got Dan.
That's me.
And we got Anna.
Regular?
Hey. We're all regulars.
All regulars. One of these days, we will get the Mission Campus involved with this.
Oh, why?
Why would we get the Mission Campus involved?
I'm curious.
Because we love the Mission Campus.
Ooh. Oh, do we, Luke?
Dan, you don't love the Mission Campus?
I do, but I think you might love the Mission Campus more, Dane.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. Yes, we will.
And then maybe one day get Dan's intern.
Former intern.
Former intern.
Like, I have an intern. That'd be awesome.
3 weeks in and I found out I had an intern. Awesome.
That's that person sitting beside me.
Heather, Dan's ministry assistant. Maybe one day.
What's your last name? Go.
Neundorf. Neudorf.
Correct.
Nude dwarf.
Yeah, that's how I was like, nude.
Dwarf.
Nude dwarf.
Yeah.
No.
What is your last name?
Neudorf.
Neudorf. Yeah. Just got married.
Anyways, we're going to get started. Let's do a quick recap. Dan, you had the freshest memories of what happened for your kickoff. Tuesday night, what happened? How'd it go?
Tuesday, I love the first night of youth group. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. We have all these new leaders, and it's always interesting with the new leaders because you always want to touch base with them afterwards and go, hey, how'd it go? Are you coming back? You know, and so that. Are you scared? But no, we have an incredible set of young adults, like returning and the new. I was so excited. And just the vibe last night and just the kids coming through and the excitement, the worship time led by Andrew Squinchy Gettert was just awesome. It was just incredible. So it was just a really, really good time, like a great start of the year. So myself and Heather and all the leaders are just very excited. The buzz was just buzzing.
Yeah, it was. I was there.
Yeah.
Heard you were lurking.
I was lurking in the sidelines.
Yeah.
Putting out a few fires.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dan lit some fires.
Oh, Dan. Everywhere Dan goes.
Spontaneous combustion. That's right. Oh, there's another kid on fire. Don't know how that happened.
Yeah. That's okay. We got lots.
It was a little creepy during the parent meeting where Ron was standing outside the atrium just basically with his face pushed up against the window. So, with no expression on his face.
I know. I was creeping Dan then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. But, oh, awesome. Annalie, high school, what happened Thursday night?
We kicked off last week. We had hot dogs for all of the people who came out.
You burned some of the hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Ron's our barbecue master. But you know what? They ate them all. So
do you realize that some of those hot dogs that were steamed were frozen? There was ice in there when I dumped them out. How is that possible when you steam something and they're frozen?
Sorry, that was my bad then.
No, it wasn't.
Should have steamed them longer.
Is there a time limit on steaming?
Day cancel.
No, you can steam.
Oh, you can steam them forever? See, I did not know that.
So sorry.
But all of a sudden, I'm picking these things out. I says, there's ice in here.
You know, it's a good thing we barbecued them.
I know.
Just dump them and steamed. We barely made it on the hot dogs.
I know. They were gone.
Yeah, we ended with one, and Luke got to eat it.
Did you get the last one?
I ended up getting one hot dog.
How many did we have?
We did 250 hot dogs.
Yeah, we could have done more.
Yeah, and there's a lot of girls who don't eat hot dogs, believe me.
There's a lot of boys who eat two hot dogs.
And there's a lot of boys
who
eat two in one bun.
Oh. Yes. Oh, really?
Oh, we had, so many hot dogs being eaten. That was a good time.
But it was good.
Yep. Yeah. Lots of kids out. Lots of awesome leaders. Great weather.
Oh.
Yep. Fun out in the field, playing new games. We had worship. We had teaching.
You had giveaways.
We did giveaways. Yeah, we had our leaders all.
What was your
giveaways
from, Dan? Where did you buy them? Purchase them from the
dollar store.
Dollar store.
My favorite one was the emoji poop glow emoji. Stick.
Glow stick. How does that?
I don't know. Kids want to pick it. I was like, seriously, does no one want this emoji poop glow stick? So, I'm going to give them to all my grandchildren.
Well, one of our kids left their free hammock, so I guess hammocks.
Oh, really? That's what it's doing. Oh.
So I don't know. Yeah, it was a great night. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good.
Awesome. And next Tuesday, no, next Monday, you have Jump Six.
We have Jump Six.
Jump Stick. Six.
Six.
Yeah. So So we just kind of started all over like last night, but with the great sixes, you know, dial it back a bit, you know. But you know, take it a little bit easier.
Dial it back for middle school, but not dial it. But you're amping it up from. What do you say children's ministry is?
I just say if a parent is having their youth move mm-hmm. or child move from children's ministry up to middle school, there's mm-hmm. a lot of changes going on, right, in the development of the kids mm-hmm. and stuff. And so it's kind of akin to leaving the womb of children ministry and being birthed into the scary world of middle school.
Yeah. I like that analogy. I think sometimes the kids cry. Because they're not used to it, and then they just absolutely love it, though.
But our leaders will just pick them up and rock them like a baby, so it's fine.
Yes.
It's good. Kids like, let go of me. No, just relax. It's okay.
I'm not upset. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Here. So you have Jump Six.
Yes.
And which starts at?
6:30 to 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday.
And then Tuesday, Vertical Edge Gain, and we're going to.
7 to 9.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about discipleship.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nailing it.
Nailing it.
Right there at the beginning. Good.
Cool. And then next week for us is, or this Thursday for us is, we're continuing our talk. Ron's actually speaking on corruption.
Corruption.
Last week we
Leaks
talked on
destruction.
Creation, and now we're going to talk about corruption.
Is there a theme here?
Yeah, it's called I am a C. And we're just doing it on C words.
Awesome.
And so I am a C.
I know.
I am a C-H.
Yeah.
But you know, the DJ Promo remix.
That's what was playing in my head as you're saying it. Okay. I was waiting for the drop. Okay.
So doing that. And regular night, youth night, 7 to 9.
Awesome.
We're going to now go into my favorite part of this podcast with Dan doing Here's the Thing.
All right, here's the thing. This weather. Okay, we were very fortunate last night. I mean, we were setting up yesterday, and it was, like, beautiful. And then all of a sudden, it was, like, pouring, like, insanity going crazy. And I was like, is this September or what? Now, we were fortunate enough that it did clear up for youth, and it was great. We were able to have all those trikes and do some drifting and stuff like that. Always amazed on how a youth can flip one of those trikes by pedaling along a flat surface. I'm not sure how that's possible, where they just, like, anyways. But I went home yesterday, and I had a pool of water. Now, for those of you who don't know me, which is where I live, probably.
It's everyone.
People that don't walk around my house. I have a 112-year-old house. So there are always projects to be done that my wife has a list for me to do. But one of them, which I was not anticipating, was getting rid of the swimming pool in our garage where I walked into it. And there is a pool of water in the garage. But no discernible reason for it at all. I immediately looked up towards the ceiling. There was no discernible water. The variety of items that I have carefully stacked all around the garage had no water on top of them. There was no water on the sides of the walls where I did do some patching of the stucco. I hope it wasn't asbestos stucco. Anyways, the patching in the summer.
Too late, Dan.
It's too late. Yeah. Okay. There is just literally water. So my wife said, it is coming up through the concrete.
Seeping.
But dude, like we're talking like a lot. Like,
how much water? Are you talking fill your boots?
No, it's like an inch or so. And not the entire garage. It was just, but it's just one of those things you do not anticipate. Like youth is starting up. Everything's going right. I'm jazzed. I'm running all around. And then all of a sudden my wife's like, yeah, you got to fix the garage. It's like, I don't even know where the water's coming from.
Yep. Mm.
Sorry about that, guys. It's a little...
Bad drainage.
Yeah. Bad drainage.
Did you have a good amount of rain there in Chilliwack as well?
Oh, it was crazy. It was insane. Like the rain that we had in Abbotsford yesterday afternoon, we had that in the Chilliwack the day before. Mm. So literally when I'd come home that afternoon, my daughter and her son are on the porch watching the rain. and her son. And then all of a sudden, my 11-year-old son, Cash Money, comes running out of the house only in his shorts. It's George. Pouring rain, and he's dancing out in the front yard in the rain, screaming hysterically. So we went in the house and locked the doors. And then he's banging on the doors, and my other son and I are yelling at him that he could not come in, and he had to run around the house in the rain to come in the other door, but we locked that door too. Oh, the fun activities of a homeschool child.
Curriculum. Oh, anyways, yeah, curriculum.
That's awesome.
So no discernible evidence of
no,
that?
No, but that's, you know what? That is it's a good project. It's good. I'm going to work on that, and we're going to get that done. I just had not anticipated. I thought the majority of my summer projects were done, mm-hmm. even though my wife was not in agreement with that. But that's fine. That's fine. I will work on that. So, but that is a major
Major project.
Major project to do. Yeah.
Ooh. Awesome. Now it's time for Culture Time with Ron and Dan.
Culture time.
And this one, what's going to happen, like last week, I'm going to say a word or an acronym, and the two of you are going to try to tell me what it means.
I want Adelie to do it, too. okay, I mean, but go ahead. Hit
I probably don't know them anyways, so yeah. I can participate. Okay. But
fine, it's Culture Time with Dan, Ron, and Annalie.
Oh, what are these kids talking about these days?
Since we're talking about phones, we're going to talk about something that kids do on their phones and a word that they use on their phones.
Yes.
And it is called HMU. And it would go...
Use it in a sentence.
I'm bored, HMU.
Hit me up.
Okay, you think it needs to hit me up?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
Like that? Don't think about it. You just got to go fast.
I know. I was thinking of a...
I was thinking back on the farm.
Yeah. I was thinking of a store, so... But that didn't...
H&M?
H&M.
Annalie?
I thought first High School Musical. Well, no, that's the wrong letters.
Yes.
So then, yeah, I know. Here's my umbrella.
That's good too.
But Dan is correct.
Yeah,
Hit me up, Dan. How'd you know that?
What's that?
Was that just a guess?
It's came in my head.
Oh, you know, it's hit me up. So that's what a lot of people use it when they're selling stuff or when they're really just bored.
Ah,
hit me up.
Hit me.
Luke,
up.
Have you used that in your?
Oh, okay. No, I don't really go on Instagram that much, and when I post a photo, it's just usually of Danae. So, not really. Not looking for people to hit me up.
All right, give us another one.
Another one?
Give us one more.
One more?
Yeah.
Let's go with sus.
Sus? S-U-S?
S-U-S.
Some. You. Some. Some you some.
What?
Some.
It's not an acronym.
Oh. It's not an acronym.
It doesn't sound very nice.
Suspended.
Suspended?
I got suspended.
I'm going to go with just like, what's up?
So how would you use it in a sentence? Sus man.
Exactly like sus that. Man? Exactly okay. Like that, yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like a negative thing you'd call somebody. I don't know.
Short for suspect. When someone's looking suspect. When...
Okay. Like with Ron with his big goatee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that. Suspended.
Like
All right, good.
That's been Culture Time. So now we're doing, last week we mentioned the book iGen by Gene Twenge. Twenge. Is that how you say it?
We should have actually checked that out.
We should have checked that out.
Yeah.
But she is an author of the book called iGen, and on the cover it says, why today's super connected kids are growing up less rebellious, more tolerant, less happy, and completely unprepared for adulthood. So as the cover says, it's why are kids growing up in a different way than maybe the rest of us were raised and how we're dealing? Because they are being born with technology, and more importantly, they're being born with a smartphone. So Gene does a great study on teenagers in America about how different life is for them than us.
And I think one of the things that's really important about this book, too, is that it is based upon national statistics across. It is an American. It is American statistics, but it's based on. And she's a university professor. Where? What college or university is she at there, Luke? I think San Diego State or something like that. It's on the back cover there, on the bottom. But anyways, or maybe inside. But the biggest thing is you can read books like this. You can get books on culture, and they can be written by a pastor.
San Diego State.
San Diego State, or by someone else, and. Often they're not based upon data. It can just be like, hey, this is what I have observed, which is good too. It's good insight. But that's why I really appreciated this book, because this is multiple surveys and statistics involving thousands of teenagers across America. So it could be one thing when it's presented and we read it, we'd be like, well, that's not true. Well, it might not be true of the immediate couple of kids that you know, but this is the prevalent society.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw out some stats right there, and that'll spark our discussion for what is happening. So first statistic, in 2008, 14% of 12th grades never used social media. 14% never used social media. So that means 86% use social media. Now, this study in 2015, 3% never use social media. So 97% of grade 12 students are using social media, whereas 80% of 14-year-olds use Instagram and Snapchat. 80%. So the line between grade 8s and grade 12s, there's a 17% difference in people using the technology. So 17%. So there's 17% kids that don't use it between 8 and 12 that eventually will use it. 2015, 52% read two or more books a year. This is grade 12s, a year for pleasure. 30% do not read any books for pleasure. And 15% read a book or magazine every single day. So 15% of grade 12 students in America read a book or magazine a day. Shocking. Grade 12s spend an average of 6 hours a day in front of a screen. That is 2.25 hours in texting, 2 hours on the internet, 1.5 hours of gaming, 0.5 hours of video chat. Whereas grade 8s spend a total of around five hours a day, so in a whole hour less, but still grade 8, 1.5 hours of texting, 1.5 hours of gaming, 1.5 hours of online time, and 0.5 hours of video chat. So those are some about them, about the average spending time. What also was very interesting to me was that people going out and drinking are far less than before. Parties are not happening as much. This is what Kevin says, who is a 17-year-old dude. I feel like we don't party as much. People stay in more often. My generation lost interest in socializing in person. They don't have physical get-togethers. They just text together, and they can just stay at home. We also got one from Priya, who says, what you read in books is like, oh my gosh, high school has all these football games and parties. And when you come there, no one really does it. No one really is that interested, including me. This is what, from Nick, age 18, the only parties I went to in high school were birthday parties, and they're always almost supervised or included an adult somewhere. And then the last one I'm going to read is the unhappiness of kids in correlation to screen time, which Dan will speak on. The results could not be clearer. Teens who spend more time on screen activities are more likely to be unhappy, and those who spend more time on non-screen activities are more likely to be happy. There's not a single exception. All screen activities are linked to less happiness, and all non-screen activities are linked to more happiness. For example, eighth graders who spend 10 or more hours a week on social media are 56% more likely to be unhappy than those who don't. Admittedly, 10 hours a week is a lot. So what about those who spend a merely 6 hours a week or more on social media? They are still 47% more likely to be unhappy. And then it goes down to a graph that says what helps eighth graders become happy, or what makes it in a happy eighth grader's life. What are they doing? The number one thing is they're doing sports or exercise that prevents unhappiness. The second most popular, or the thing that helps kids from being unhappy, from making kids happy, is religious service. So that's going to youth or church or volunteering somewhere. That is making kids happy and less sadness in their life because they have community. Print media, so that's books. In-person social interaction, homework, and working. What causes eighth graders unhappiness? It goes in this order from lowest to highest: video chat, computer games, and then it goes very high all the way to texting, social networking websites, and the internet. So the more the kids are spending on the internet, texting, and other websites, the more unhappy the kid usually is. Last quote: Facebook use caused unhappiness, but unhappiness did not cause Facebook use. So those are just some of the things that are in this book of iGen. It's chock full of useful data for parents to look at and say, like, hey, screen time is actually a problem. It's problematic. So for the three of you, what do you think of these stats, what I just read out? What is going on through your heads when you hear this? And what problem does this make for parents?
Mm-hmm. Parents are busy, right? Everyone's busy with work and all the activities. And sometimes it's easier if your son or daughter says, hey, can I just go play some video games? And you're like, okay, yeah, go ahead. But with a book like this, this is right in your face. This shows you and the statistics that you're reciting there quickly, Luke, is just the amount of screen time directly influences their mental health. That's something as a parent should cause us to, as soon as we see our child on a video game, yeah, to really.
So when you say unhappiness, what does that really unpack into?
When we're talking depression, yeah, we're talking loneliness. Mm-hmm. It says that, I mean, the same section you were reading, it was talking about every hour that they're playing a one-on-one video game is 1 hour less than they could be having face-to-face community,
right,
with someone. And that's why the statistics about being involved in sports or religious activities. Mm-hmm. And when it says religious activities and we say church and youth, that's also like community groups, like, right, family community groups. Like, yeah, this, that is, I mean, when I read that, I'm just like, it makes so much sense, right? Yeah. We touched on last week about being made for community.
Yeah.
And so we talk about being made for community.
Yeah.
This makes sense. We're not supposed to live isolated, mm-hmm, isolated lives.
Right.
And so as parents, I'm not saying get rid of video games. I'm not saying that. But be aware that anything that is taking so much of your child's time,
right,
anything where they are focusing their whole selves into, that is affecting their development. That is affecting their brain development and their communication skills, their social development. It's having a huge impact. Yeah. So we want to be putting the not time restrictions or whatever, right? We just, mm-hmm, want to be like carte blanche. Here's your video game. Just go ahead and do it. And we want to be aware of what they're playing. Mm-hmm. So Ron's moving up to the mic here.
That's good. I like it. I think it's done a couple of things to families. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it has changed the landscape of the home, knowing full well, like when, I mean, as I said this on Saturday at our leader training for middle school, high school, and young adults, I grew up in that era of you know, as a youth pastor where there was no internet, there was no Wi-Fi, there was, you know, there was no Facebook, you know, all of those things, you know, weren't there. And so, but what was there, you know, for teenagers to connect? Well, I mean, the telephone was still there. I mean, I know this is ancient news, but at that time, society adapted this thing called the teen line. It's because moms and dads were angry because the teens would sit on the phones for hours at a time and talk. And because they couldn't be there present with them all the time, so they would sit on the phone. So you would look in the old phone books, and parents would have teen lines attached to there so that the teenagers could call a teen line in their friend's home, and it wouldn't interfere with the main line.
Hmm.
All that being said is that in many cases, it was that parents would come home, and my kid's on the phone again. Get off the phone. Now you come home again, and you go, you're on your phone. Why are you on your phone? You know, I mean, it doesn't affect them so much, but they're still there. So I think culture always unpacks that next thing for us. How are parents going to deal with this? What did you do with kids who needed to be disciplined? You took away their phone time, like the landline. Mm-hmm. Can't be on the phone. Now I talk to parents who are struggling with their kids. How do you discipline them? They take away their phones. They take away their gaming devices. So we've used that as a sort of a disciplinary thing because mm-hmm. we know teens like it. So I think parents are struggling with this because they are not comfortable with the amount of time that is there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, parents need to look into the mirror and say, how much time do you spend on it?
Yeah. And that I think is a great segue. I watched a TED Talk today, mm-hmm. and I showed Annalie this, and the TED Talk was, I forget, do you remember the name of the lady? I'm going to put the link below in this, and she was talking about the average person checks their email 74 times a day and switches tasks 566 times a day.
Ooh.
So that means they're always on their phone. Adults are constantly on their phones, and
absolutely.
Then she made actually a challenge. Was it Annalie? It was a challenge to put down your phone, and so to actually be like, "Hey, no, this isn't the time for your phone," and how putting down your phone actually induces creativity into your mind. That you have a default mode in your brain, and where if you're actually not using your phone, which doesn't let you think, that you're just up there in nowhere land, that becomes your most creative time, and that you can actually think for yourself again and give good ideas and help problem solving. They did a study in that university students are becoming less creative about solving world problems or just problems in general, and less creative about what kind of things they can do with their life, and they're being just satisfied with whatever social media they can, and they're just looking at that whenever they can. And so I think parents, what you said, need to really look and be like, how much time am I spending on my phone in front of my kids? Because the stats are in. Like, this wasn't a stat on teenagers. This was a stat on adults, people who fully knew what they're doing. There was people who did the challenge of not picking up their phone, and they're like, I felt tingly, and I needed to pick up my phone, and I needed to do something, but I wasn't supposed to. And so going through that as parents, like, you need to look and say, am I being a good example to my kids? How much am I on my phone and checking emails and doing all this kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, that's the huge thing, right? Because they are looking for affirmation mm-hmm. through however many likes of whatever social media platform that they're doing.
Yeah.
And if us as parents, if that is the lesson that we're teaching, if we're all sitting around the table or in the, and, you know, and all checking, and like I say, it doesn't matter what social media platform you are. Mm-hmm. Like, kids will be like, your parents, oh, you guys are on Facebook, you're so old,
yeah.
right? You know, it doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter which one it's going to be next year. Okay. Mm-hmm. The fact is, it's social media. And if that is where you are seeking your affirmation, your meaning mm-hmm. for life, that's the huge issue.
Right.
That's a huge issue.
And I liked in that TED Talk that Luke's talking about, she really highlighted the importance of being bored and yeah. how none of us today really know what it's like to be bored. But kids especially never know what it's like to be bored because they have that instant, I'll go to my phone when I'm sitting at the bus stop. I'll have music playing while I'm walking to school, or I'll check Instagram as I'm driving home from school. So there is no time that kids just sit and kind of tune out or just think through things. And that's the time when they can be creative or processing through what actually happened in their day. They're not actually thinking through emotions they had or conflicts that they had, because they can just automatically go to the phone and be distracted.
Yeah. And one thing about that, one of the other books that we read was called Generation Z by a pastor here in the summer. And he was talking about his church is specifically geared towards reaching millennials. Mm-hmm. And Luke, specifically how you said how people will switch the way that, how many times they switch activities and such like that they're doing today. His strategy, they've actually done a full Christmas service of emojis. Like I don't think Northview's going to do that. Just so everyone's really clear on this. But they actually did a Christmas service of a video of emojis describing the Christmas story for these millennials because their conclusion was that they would track better with that than a conventional sermon.
Wow. Well, I think in all of this, I mean, there's a lot to obviously pile into a podcast time like this. But I think if I'm coming from a parent's side, I mean, there are some – parents are truly – I mean, here's a mature parent spending hours on the phone, like you said, checking, you know, whatever. I mean, that's the maturity factor. What's concerning parents is, are my kids mature enough to be on screen time that much? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have anything, there's no borders there. And so I think parents are concerned with the content that kids are looking at. They're concerned with the fact of how much time this actually does absorb out of their day. And then also the influence of morals. I mean, what you watch on these things, you know, the amount of affirmation you can get or, you know, I mean, bullying was a huge part of everyone's world. Growing up, I bullied and I was bullied. You know, it's king of the hill, you know, and if we didn't like, you had to be above someone, you know, that kind of thing. So bullying has always been around, wrong, you know, I mean, wrongly so, you know. So now we have bullying that happens via social media. You know, and so there's another level. So I think morals, I think time, I think the influence, parents don't have that same voice anymore. And so there is legitimate fear that I think they've, like, how is this changing my child? Mm. Or what is the influencing factor? And when you read those stats and you think about, you know, okay, parties are down. Why are they down? Because kids are in their bedroom with their phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think one of the big things, too, is the unhappiness part of all this. Because a lot of kids do struggle with depression, anxiety, and not being included in things. Feeling left out. Loneliness is so prevalent in our society that as parents, you're the one who sees your kid the most. And if you see your kid not going out, not hanging out with friends, not in any out of school activities, that their only connection is during school, and maybe they don't have very many friends, like that, maybe not get worried, but like try to actively put things into your kids' lives. Maybe that's you hanging out with your kid more, but making sure your kids get face-to-face time and they're not, as soon as they get home, in their rooms, on their phones, doing nothing. Like I can't tell you that how many times me and Annalie ask kids, hey, what'd you do? And kids say, like, after, what do you do after school? They're like, nothing. I'm like, what does that even mean? And they're like, I don't know. I didn't do anything. I'm like, do you just, like, so all these kids just sit and stare at a wall, but that's not true. They just go on their phones and just scroll through all their apps, through everything. They don't actually accomplish anything. They're just looking through Instagram, looking at videos, a lot of memes, that they just don't do anything. And that's not a good thing for those kids to be doing, just no interaction time.
Yeah, and like according to the stats, we're seeing the healthier side of kids because they're the ones involved in a religious activity. Right. So like that's what breaks my heart, thinking of the kids. Like we're seeing this in our kids who we get to interact with weekly or and so according to data, they are more on the healthier side. So the kids that aren't, that is the sad situation. That
there's a risk of becoming unhealthy.
Yeah, it's the loneliness and the sadness that must be in the lives of so many teens and young people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a good book. I think once again, I just want to say again, it's a good book because it presents a lot of data, and that we can observe this data and then we can draw our own conclusions too, and look at our own situation and go, okay, how does that affect our ministry here at the church? And then for parents, how does it affect their discipleship of their youth?
Yeah.
So it's a good book that way. It's a real eye opener. I think it's one of those books, if as a parent you were to read that, all of a sudden things would just start falling into place and going, okay, this makes sense now. This explains a lot of the tension, a lot of the issues, a lot of the miscommunication, confusion that I have between myself and my teen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's a couple of things that I think as parents and as youth workers that we realize that this is not going away. This new generation, and I think, you know, iGen is built on the ages from born 95 and up, correct? I think that's what it is.
Yep. Yeah.
95 and up. So this is the first generation that feels that they are Wi-Fi entitled. They're growing up. They understand
always
it.
Wi-Fi, yeah.
There's has to be Wi-Fi. Why is there no Wi-Fi? You know, and because they all have smartphones. Like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's huge. So we've grown. Technology has just, you know, we benefit from it 100%. We all use it. And now we get to youth group, or a parent comes home and their kids are glued to their phones. They can't go anywhere without it, or their, you know, their laptops or their, you know, whatever their device is. You know, I mean, it's there. So parents have to figure out ways, and as we do too, how do we come alongside that? Mm-hmm. You know, there's been, I know there's youth groups and camps that, let's say camps, no phones, got to turn your phone in. You can't have it, you know,
yeah.
You know, we struggle with it every Thursday. I don't know about you on Tuesdays, yep. But you know, we have kids that are on there, you know, and we make we have the slide that goes off,
turn your
no phone zone, all that kind of stuff. And I get it, you know, we want them to be concentrating on us. But at the same time, and you know, and I've been reading this book, Beyond the Screen, by Andrew Zerschke, if that's how you say it, and he has a little bit of a different take on this. And the take that he has is that he says the connection is the most important thing. It's not that they are discounting those around them. These teens want to be connected. We view it as they don't want to be connected with us, but they take their friends with them wherever they go. Just like a landline did this in the 80s and the 90s, like I could be on the phone with my friend for an hour and a half and no one's going to interrupt me. Well, now I can have all of my friends together. So I think we have to work as parents saying, hey, there is a long and deep desire to be connected. We have to figure out how we do that as parents, how we do that as youth leaders. We can't be pointing the finger, this is bad. This is bad. Because if they think, you think my phone's bad or you think I'm bad, you know? So we have to walk alongside. We have to be able to encourage times of interaction face-to-face. Absolutely. We need that. We need that at the dinner table. We need that to be with us all the way through. You know, I mean, places where, hey, put the phone down. We're going to talk now, you know? And when we say to youth group, hey, you know, guys, I know the phone's there. Tell your friend that this was an awesome. Tell your friends now, hey, I'm at youth group. I'll let you know how it's going, you know? Versus telling them, you know, what? Yeah, tell them. Just tell them, we just sang this awesome song. We just did this super game. We just saw Dan do a backflip. Wow. You know? Can you do a backflip? No. Anyways, there's ways that we have to be creative about this. And there's ways we have to interact with it.
Yeah.
So that it's not seen as a negative. Because if it's seen as a negative to them, they say, well, okay, I'm just going after this thing.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the podcast. We'll be talking about this furthermore. There's lots more to talk about. With this kind of statistics and stuff, in the bottom, there'll be a couple links on how to, where you can find these books, some good resources for this stuff. If you're listening and want to ask any questions, please email us at btw@northview.org. All right. Catch you next week.